Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a big show for you here today. The choice is yours coming up at 7:45. Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback, current head coach at Lipscomb Academy, will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Matt Duchesne at 8:45 and Adam Vingan from The Athletic joining us at 9:30. So a lot still to get to on the show. But Joe, all week this week at 7 o'clock, we've been handing out grades for the Tennessee Titans and for some position groups. And we've gone through the wide receivers and the tight ends. Yesterday, handled the cornerbacks and the safeties as a part of the Titans defense. Today, going with the linebacking corps, both outside linebackers and inside linebackers. So we'll start with the outside linebackers. Would you like to begin with your beloved Clowney, Joe's Clowney? What grade would you give to Davion Clowney this year? Is it fair to go Clowney incomplete, or is it just an F?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So going through all this free agency stuff, you know, because we're writing stuff at The Athletic, but there's, you know, everybody's writing free agency stuff right now. And so I'm going through a lot of these lists, and Clowney's still incredibly prominent in some of them. I mean, Shiel, our guy Shiel Kapadia, has him, I think.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. Got him like 40-something, 41, something like that. So, I mean, like, he's like, it doesn't matter. Clowney, because he was the number one recruit ever and because of that, like, hit against Michigan, you know, like, he's still, someone's going to, like, overpay him. But when you read the Pro Football Focus recap of it, they actually said it wasn't great. I think it was like, it wasn't great, but he was very good. Like, his grade was like 79.4 or whatever. And it's like, I mean, like, yeah, I don't think so. Now, do I think he was a flat F? Like Clowney could have had a good season and had like 4 sacks. But he had no sacks, and he made very few plays, and he seemed to be out of position. And here and there, he blew up a blocker. You know, like, he made like a couple plays, I think, against Buffalo, where, like, because he blew up a blocker, that made. So I will give him a D minus. I will be, you know, again, I'll stick to the Joe's Clowney.
My goodness.
And give him a D minus.
F
all the way.
Jadeveon Clowney is an F. Now, look, the injury part of it is what it is. But, I mean, that was a concern about him coming in. He offered virtually zero out there compared to what I expected. Like, one of the big parts that I thought Jadeveon Clowney could really help in was the run defense. And I don't know if it was him going off schedule or if maybe that part of it with this Titans defense was just beyond saving. But he was of almost zero help in the run defense. I mean, they got run all over while Jadeveon Clowney was in there. So I look at his tenure here with the Titans. There's not really – I mean, you could point to a play or two here and there. He did force a nice fumble on a play one time. There wasn't a whole lot that worked for Jadeveon Clowney while he was in there with the Titans. I think this has to be an F with Clowney.
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe they bring him back.
I think most people would probably go there. Let's see. I'm trying to look at his. What did he have for stats? He had.
Did he have double digit tackles?
He had passes defended. He forced a fumble. He had. He had 4 tackles for loss. He had 19 tackles.
Okay.
He had 6 quarterback hits.
Okay.
I mean, I think you can justify a D minus, but yeah, you know, like, to the point of this whole thing, we're also going on expectations. And so relative to expectations, none of that stuff is close to enough, and he was signed for a lot of money.
We won't even waste our time with Vic Beasley. He's an F. I think we could both agree with that. Beasley is an F, was a total waste of space.
Can he be a G?
He was bad.
Some schools do E's.
Yeah.
Or they used to.
Yeah.
Like an E, which is weird.
H?
That sounds worse than F.
Yeah.
I?
Z.
Can Vic Beasley be a Z?
How deep can we go here?
I give Vic Beasley a Z.
Porth, are you still convinced Vic Beasley the worst free agent signing in the history of the franchise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. End of story.
Okay.
What's number two again? Number two,
Carl
would be
Pickens.
Carl
maybe?
Pickens, maybe.
Yeah.
Yancey Thigpen.
Andy Levitre's up there. Andy, they spent a lot of money for a turnstile at guard.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Vic Beasley's got to be in that conversation. Just a total whiff by John Robinson on that one. Let's talk about Harold Landry, because he's very interesting to me in terms of, I think he's a guy you want to see more production out of from a sack standpoint. And he finished this year with 5.5 sacks, but he's also a guy that, like, I don't think the motor you question. I don't think the effort you question. And he's playing almost literally every snap for this Titans defense based on what they were able to toss out there. As you evaluate Harold Landry, what your expectations were heading into the season and the way that he played on the field, how would you go about grading Harold Landry?
Yeah, so you go back to 2019, and for people who don't remember, you're talking about a second-round pick out of Boston College, 4.5 sacks as a rookie. Then in 2019, he got up to 9 sacks, got up to 68 tackles, played a lot more, and then they talked about him playing less, and that didn't happen at all. So he had 69 tackles, goes up a tackle, tackles for loss down from 12 to 10, QB hits up from 14 to 16, sacks down from 9 to 5.5, as you said. Plays hard. I mean, what are the expectations for him? I guess when you have a 9-sack second season, I think the expectations are, okay, do that.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple more. And with some help, maybe he can really flourish. You know, I think if someone tells me right now that the 9 sacks for Harold Landry is going to be a career high, I would not be shocked. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be a dominant pass rusher. But I think he's an all-around good player. And he made some big plays, and he actually had a huge sack in the one win against Baltimore in the regular season. So relative expectations, I think, were probably higher than they will be moving forward. It's hard with him. I guess I go C+.
I'll go C with Harold Landry, but it's interesting. Like, I agree. You expect more out of a guy like that, and I would have liked to have seen the sack totals go up. He also had zero help on the other side. Now, I don't know how much time the opponent spend double-teaming Harold Landry either. So, at some point, you got to get off your block and beat your guy one-on-one. And I didn't think he did that enough, but I'm over here, like, I'm looking at the snap percentages for Harold Landry. I mean, 97%, 94%, 96%, 98%, 96%, 87%. I mean, he played in that playoff game. Harold Landry played 100% of the snaps for the Titans defensively. Like, in some ways, you look at that and you're like, okay, well, you're out there all the time. Why can't your production be more? And I certainly understand that part of the argument. But also, you're out there all the time. Like, what are you dealing with throughout the season? Did you have some nagging injuries? Like, how you can't possibly be fresh that way as the season goes on. So I will go C. I expected more from Harold Landry, but also you got to give him credit because he showed up to play every single day. And quite frankly, he's really the only thing they had at the outside linebacker spot this year.
Yeah, I mean, I give him an A for effort. If it's just effort, then, you know, but it is production. It's being better, and, you know, he's worked on trying to have counter moves. He's an outside speed rush guy, but he still hasn't really done a lot in terms of being able to use those effectively in games. I mean, I was very tempted to go B- because of all those things you just said. And, of course, he had nagging injuries, you know, and he played through them. So a stalwart out there and a guy that he's a keeper, and you want him – moving forward, and you want to help him, and who knows, maybe that will help him reach a higher level.
The last guy we'll grade at the outside linebacker position, what about Derek Roberson for the Titans? He's interesting. He only played in 8 games this year. I think he's got a lot of ability, but did not find a way to get to the quarterback, did not have a sack for the Titans this year. How would you go about grading Derek Roberson?
I mean, I'd just give him a C. I mean, he was okay. He's not – the expectations are not high. He's an undrafted guy. There were some flashes last year. He had 3 sacks last year. He showed some flashes. He showed in camp some flashes. I think he's still a little bit undersized, a skinny guy. Has some potential, but, you know, he's a guy who, frankly, like, you want him to be a practice squad guy on your team. You want him to be a depth guy. If needed, you need to be in a situation where, you know, he's down the depth chart, and that's not where they were. So, I mean, his expectations still were not high, and I'd give him a C.
How would you grade John Robinson's handling of the outside linebacker position?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's an F all the way. I mean, you know, obviously you're talking about Now, I wouldn't say it's an F in terms of going out and addressing it. It's an F in outcome. And I still totally separate Beasley and Clowney. Red flags galore on Beasley. You signed him anyway. Clowney, a whole bunch of teams in this league were right there with you on the recruit of the century. And at the time, again, this is where what Jared like mixed up. Given the information at the time, can't blame it, but we're grading what the outcome was.
Yeah.
The outcome is an F.
When we come back, we will go to the inside linebacker part of this discussion. What did we think of that group? What will our grades look like for that position? We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Handing out some grades for the Tennessee Titans this week, or this today, linebackers. We did outside linebackers last segment, inside linebackers this segment. Joe, let's start with a guy we spent a lot of time talking about this year, and that is Rashawn Evans. Obviously a first-round pick, a guy that I thought had some really good moments in 2019 for the Titans and turns into an absolute human missile on the goal line, apparently. That's a place where Rashawn Evans plays pretty well, but I think fair to say, overall, a pretty disappointing season for Rashawn Evans. What would your grade be for him, and how did you evaluate his performance this year?
Yeah, he's a tough one. He's certainly, I think he's one of two guys that you point to on this defense who clearly you expected more from this year, and the other one being Kevin Byard. You know, and two guys who played all year. I mean, again, I know Adoree Jackson didn't play very well when he came out, but I mean, you look at, if you just go by the stats, you know, you've got 5 passes defended, a fumble recovery. He went down from 111 tackles to 96. 1 tackle for loss, 4 QB hits. I mean, he was put on the outside a little bit because obviously they're trying to find anybody to rush the passer. So they tried that a little bit, and that was something talked about when they drafted him. To me, there are a lot of big plays in the run game, and at times in the pass game, you know, using over the middle of the field, things like that, where he just didn't make the play. He was out of position. He was blocked. I didn't think he was very effective. I didn't think he took the step, like you said, there was a clear step from 18 rookie year to 19. He becomes a key player in there. And at times, I mean, there's no question he is a tremendous athlete. I think he's also a guy who could be like a team leader moving forward if he's going to be with these guys long term. But it was disappointing. Relative to expectations, that's what all these grades are. You know, again, he was very good at the goal line, so you also have to take that into account. I mean, I guess I go C minus, and maybe I'm being too kind there, but I don't think I could go any higher than that.
I give Rashawn Evans a D. I thought there was a pretty clear step back from him, and he's one of those guys that you watch, and I feel like there's a really high talent level there. Like, I'm not saying he's got the talent level of, you know, an elite linebacker in the NFL, but there's a lot to work with. And when he can just pin his ears back and play, and he knows what's coming at the goal line, I mean, he's a great player on the goal line. Great athleticism. He's really good defensively in that area. But, I mean, he just looked out of position so often this year and missed some tackles in the running game, to your point. You know, got exposed at times in the passing game as well. I expected a lot more from Rashawn Evans. I thought last year, as they were making their run to the AFC title game, that maybe they were in the midst of watching a guy become a special player. Like, not, you know, I'm not talking Hall of Fame player or anything like that, but a guy you felt good about at the inside linebacker position for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And quite frankly, after what I saw from Rashawn Evans this year, I've got real questions about his future here with the Titans. I think next season is a massive season for him, and if it doesn't go well, I don't see him being here much longer.
Well, and, yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said there. I thought that going in, the two areas where I just thought this defense could be among the best in the league was at the inside linebacker spot and the safety spot. And it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't great anywhere. But so that's also, again, when you talk about grades relative to expectations, which is probably why my C minus is probably too kind. Because it just, he was not nearly as impactful as you need him to be. So I agree, huge offseason and huge 2021 for him on the field. And then, of course, be very interesting to see who's next to him.
And also going to be very interesting, a big free agent decision coming up for the Titans this offseason, Jayon Brown. Now, he played in 10 games this year. I thought he started pretty slow, and then before he got injured, I thought he was coming on and playing some pretty good football for this Titans defense. Obviously not a full season's worth of work, but if you had to put a grade on Jayon Brown's season, what would it be?
Yeah, he really came on. He just has, you know, I think about the pick at Pittsburgh that gave him a chance to come back and win that game, for example. He just has a knack for making plays, and he's a really, I think he's clearly of those free agents, the third priority. But I think you can make a case he's a priority. So he went this year, like you said, 10 games. Last year, I mean, and this is one thing that you keep in mind when you talk about signing him, he's had a lot of injuries. And obviously I think that hit at Baltimore, you could say, I don't know if it was dirty, but it was a little extra, a little unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, yes.
But he has 76 tackles in those 10 games. You know, he's got a couple forced fumbles, the pick I mentioned, 5 tackles for loss, a couple QB hits. He's in a sack. I think the way he played after, like you said, that slow start, expectations are high. But, all right, I'll give him a C+. It's just hard to give anybody on this defense anything like above a C something, you know? It's just,
I was going to go C. I thought, quite frankly, at the first part of the season, he was very disappointing. Like, he was missing plays. He was getting beat in coverage. Like, I think back to that Indy game on Thursday night. I mean, Hines was out there just running around all over people.
Sure.
Now, again, I realize.
Singled up, and that guy's fast.
He's fast, and I that's part of it. But I thought the Pittsburgh game, he played really well. And to me, the Pittsburgh game was the turning point for his season for the most part. I thought before that he was really struggling out there defensively. But it was also pretty apparent, like, when he was gone and when he got hurt in the Baltimore game, they really missed him on that side of the ball. So I'll go C. I mean, I think he's a really good player. We've talked a lot this year about some misses that John Robinson has had in the draft. That's one of the better picks that he's had, especially for the value of Jayon Brown, fifth rounder. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's come in that's been very productive. So I'll give Jayon Brown a C. And look, I'm very fascinated to see what the Titans are going to do with him this offseason. If he is a priority, do they make a run at him, or is he just going to have to be a cap casualty at this point based on the other moves that you have to make? And Joe, I think part of that decision is going to be, how do the Titans feel about David Long Jr.? He comes in obviously with a more prominent role after Jayon Brown goes down with an injury. David Long Jr., and I think really had his coming out party last year against the Ravens in the playoffs, where I thought he played very well. What did you think of him, his season, and maybe even what do you think about him maybe being an answer at inside linebacker for the Titans moving forward?
Yeah, I think he may be. I think that may be where this goes. It's the circle of life in the NFL, and you've got this guy you drafted, and he's your three. He steps in, and I thought it was a little up and down. There were some glaring mistakes, but also some definite plays, and he has a knack for making plays. He has speed. He ended up starting 5 games. He's got 54 tackles, a couple passes defended, a forced fumble, a couple TFLs. And I thought in a few games, he definitely made a difference and made you think, yeah, they could probably go with this with Evans and Long. And I think then you probably are looking at maybe drafting someone else too.
Maybe we got him drafting a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. I know. We are using up those picks and then some. But I thought Long, I would say, again, you always remind that you're talking expectations that we're grading on a curve. As a backup, the way he played came in, All right, I'll give him a C-plus also.
I'll give him a B-minus.
Okay.
This may be the first time that I've given somebody a higher grade than you did.
I thought about it. I thought about – no, I think you gave somebody yesterday.
I may have, but I'm a very mean grader, apparently. But I'll give him a B-minus. I thought he came in and played well. I'm not going to say he played very well because I did think there were moments where he got exposed a little bit out there, which, look, that's going to happen to even your best players in the league with how dangerous offenses are now. But I think it's a credit to him that Jayon Brown goes down and he comes in – and you're having a legitimate conversation right now, I think, if you're the Titans of, okay, if Jayon Brown's not here, can David Long be that answer long-term as the Titans move forward in the next couple of years here? So because of that, because of his ability to come in, and I think, you know, I'm not going to say there wasn't a drop-off because I think there was from him to Jayon Brown, but it wasn't this just gigantic drop-off that was noticeable every single game. I'll give him a B-minus.
Okay.
What about Will Compton?
I was close on that. Okay, so Will Compton, I'm going to give a B to Will Compton.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Compton comes in, gets signed, and it has nothing to do with the podcast that I've never listened to. But I think Lawan one time asked him a question. He said something like, "Are you a ghost listener?" No, I'm not a ghost listener. You know what that means? That means that you like listen and don't admit it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, this is non-podcast related on the grade. I thought Compton came in, and when he had to make plays, he was good. I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who's hanging on in this league, you know, who is trying to continue to stay in the league. And for him to get thrown out there and play like he did, I was actually quite impressed. So B, straight up B. That's got to be the highest graded defensive player.
It's got to be. I mean, what'd you get, Butler? Did you get Butler a B?
Is that B for Bussing with the Boys?
Oh, man.
Ooh, that's right. Is that the name of the podcast?
Wow.
Wow!
I did hear the clip about Vrabel cutting off this Love Week, so we can talk about Vrabel cutting off an important appendage.
Yes, he did say that on that podcast. Let's go to our text line. By the way, I give Will Compton a B minus.
Okay,
thought he played well.
Okay,
let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says all these grades say a lot about the coach. D for the defense. Not great on that side of the ball.
D is for defense, especially this defense.
Yeah, it was not great. Not great at all on that side of the ball. So when we do this tomorrow, the grading portion, we'll go to the line of scrimmage, the offensive line and the defensive line. So could have some more great, interesting grades to roll out on defense coming up tomorrow as well. When we come back, a former Tennessee Titans quarterback could be on the move. What's the best fit for number 8? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have The Choice Is Yours coming up to begin next segment at 7:45. Looking forward to that. Trent Dilfer at 8 o'clock. Matt Duchesne stops by at 8:45. And then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30. So a lot still to get to here on the show today, and it is Love Week, so we're taking your submissions all show long here on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Today's question, what's the most annoying thing about your significant other? We've already had some pretty good responses.
Yeah, I'd like to know how that's going. How's that going over there?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah? Got some shareable ones? What's the percentage of shareable versus non-shareable?
They're all pretty shareable so far.
Unlike yesterday.
Got a texture that says, quote, her farts smell worse than mine.
Okay. Winner, right? We can end it right now.
It's a pretty good one. Heidi and Dixon says, the most annoying thing is he literally does everything I ask him to do, and chivalry keeps me from picking up anything over 5 pounds. Called me at work to tell me how dangerous it was to climb and change the fire alarm battery. So Heidi's husband, apparently too nice.
Heidi, who won't call us and debate, who talks about Joe's Clowney all the time. We need to know, Heidi, we need to know your husband's.
We need to know her thoughts on your grade for Clowney.
That's true, too. I also need
D minus.
I also need to know, Heidi, your husband's name so we can call him Heidi's Larry or whatever, you know. Let us know his name.
That wasn't good.
Heidi's George. Joe's Clowney, Heidi's George.
Heidi's George. Nice.
Let us know his name. Sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah. Porth, are you ready to disclose the most annoying thing about your significant other, or should we do that later?
I mean,
There's hesitation.
Step up.
I think
Horst.
You've got him thinking. The fact that you're not willing to entertain this, I think has him thinking.
So, just real quick.
You love your wife.
I love her to death.
Okay.
We're going to go through all the disclaimers. We're going to go through all the disclaimers now.
I walk into the house. I walk into the house, and before this is my routine when I get home from work. Okay, I walk through the door that goes from the garage to the kitchen, and I put down my backpack with my work stuff, and then I take off my shoes and I put them next to the stairs because I don't like to walk upstairs with my shoes on.
Okay.
And the shoes typically stay there because I am going to be wearing those shoes again tomorrow. So I leave them right there out of the way, and she gets on me about that. But on the flip side, I'll walk around the house when I get home, and there's an empty glass here, there's an empty glass there, and it's like... She's had 8 glasses of water throughout the day with 8
like
different
little girl
glasses.
From Signs.
And
water everywhere.
And I'm just kind of like, where are all these glasses coming from? I can't put one pair of shoes next to the steps when I wear them every day. But when I get home, there's this glass, you know, downstairs on the kitchen table. There's this glass upstairs, you know, in the bathroom. And it's like, can you just use one glass and also put it away when you're done? If you're going to get on me about my shoes.
So. I think that's a fair. You know, I think that's fair. Was there any living together before marriage?
Yes.
Okay.
For
sometimes there's
about
a little
a
bit,
year.
Okay. All right. So you're yeah. Sometimes there's a little bit of a shock value
right
to
after.
The, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
if that hasn't been the case.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
There was definitely a shock value for her.
yeah.
You know, early on.
Okay. Well, how about you there, tough guy? Huh? Come on.
Are you calling me tough guy when you're not going to say anything?
Well, okay. You know, we'll see.
Look, I love my wife. I love her very much. The most annoying part about her is she's like a clean freak. Like, I'm talking next level, borderline need to go to therapy, clean freak. And to the point where if there's like a speck of dirt in the house, she drops everything she's doing and just gets down on all fours and starts cleaning stuff. Not cleaning the thing that needs to be cleaned. If one thing needs to be cleaned, all of a sudden the whole house needs to be cleaned, and we can't ever get anywhere because she spends so much time cleaning. Now, this is a good thing in the long run.
I was going to say, this is not a, this is this
But
is
it annoys the crap thing. Out of me at times, especially when we're trying to go somewhere and she is not ready because she's been cleaning. It drives me nuts.
Man, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'm not saying that mine's the winner. Maybe I just, look, we've only been married for a little bit over a year, so there's not a whole lot of time here.
So you're past the year mark, you're in the first year.
Correct.
Yeah, so you're both still basically in the honeymoon period. That's
But you've been married much longer than we have, and you're not willing to say anything, which tells me about what my future is going to look like.
Well, you know, we'll see. I actually texted Katie. I'm like, go ahead and what's your answer on me?
Okay.
And her response right now is, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So she,
where do I begin?
We need she's to, got a list.
Yeah, we need to give her some time to compose her, you know, 3-page report. I you know, I've got a few things. I actually don't know what number one would be, but that sounded terrible. but I will tell you
there's so many things.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to begin.
I know. Yeah, they're very minor things, but I will say what you're talking about, Porth. Both of those things make me think of as someone with 3 kids and they're 16, 13, and 10. I mean, just wait because and like the whole idea of like this ridiculously clean house again with also 2 dogs and 3 kids.
Yeah,
oh,
probably gonna be gone.
I mean, you know, I need someone in the house to be. I'd like one child to, you know, clean a dish or not leave a glass of water. So, I mean, you know, that's where my perspective on stuff like that is. It's, I think back to like, gosh, remember when it was so simple and we didn't have, you know, these people running around trash and everything?
But, you know, here's something that annoys me almost even more about my annoyance is that she'll bring it up passive aggressively her family, or if we have a friend over. And she'll make a comment about the shoes next to the stairs, but she won't always tell me directly how she feels about the shoes next to the stairs.
See, I don't have that problem with my wife. There's no passive aggressiveness. It's just total aggressiveness. That's all it is.
That's same with me. But I, in general, passive aggressiveness is annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Like, yeah, come on. Tell me what you think. Yeah, not a problem in my household.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Somebody says, Porth, RIP, 2/10/21. You're beginning the list today. Just wrecking it down here.
Why did we decide for this to be the topic today?
Because it's got
so
it's, some
everyone
fun
could
responses.
Get in trouble.
Yeah. And we have to. It's Love Week. We talked about the worst first date. Some awful pickup lines yesterday that 72% of which I could not read on the air, and now getting everyone in trouble.
We need a nice feel good day for.
Well,
Love
we've
Week.
Got some options. But this could
we'll
go,
get there.
This has been very funny so far on the text line. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll continue to take your submissions all day long here on the show. Your most annoying thing that you have with your significant other. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but it looks like Marcus Mariota could be on the move from the Las Vegas Raiders. Apparently, Raiders could be shopping him around. There was a report over the weekend that they would be more willing to shop him around than they would be Derek Carr. Now, we'll see what ends up happening with Deshaun Watson and the quarterback musical chairs that we talked about yesterday, but Marcus Mariota could be on the move. And Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network talked about Marcus Mariota getting some trade interest around the league. Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say.
As far as the Las Vegas Raiders go, here's where it stands. They've had several teams call, plenty of teams call on their quarterback, but not just Derek Carr. Teams are interested in Derek Carr. I know it would be incredibly expensive if the Raiders dealt him. It doesn't sound like they've hung up the phone, but I don't get the sense they want to deal him either. But Marcus Mariota is getting some trade interest as well. And it is possible that one Raiders quarterback is traded and it's not Derek Carr, because there's legitimate and real interest in Mariota. And I probably myself overlooked this at the time, but that performance that he gave at the end of the year really caught a lot of teams' eyes that maybe he could be the next Ryan Tannehill, which would be amazing because Ryan Tannehill happened after Marcus Mariota got benched. And now he could be the next guy of the guy who took his place.
So, Joe, what do you think of those comments by Rappaport that there's legitimate trade interest in Marcus Mariota and that maybe in his next spot he could be the next Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, well, I think we kind of saw the difference between Mariota and Tannehill last year. It would be great. I mean, I'm signing up for it. I'd love to see it. It was fun watching him come into that game for the Raiders and play well for the most part. So I'd love to see him get a chance. I have my doubts that he's going to be the next Ryan Tannehill because I don't think that he's that good.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you said it during the break. He should have gone to the Bears the first place.
He should have.
I mean, that's a lob. That's a fat pitch right there, right down the middle. You know Trubisky's going to be out. Mariota could have come in here, and I guarantee you the Bears would have given the Titans a better game than Nick Foles gave them.
Yes.
And that's a possibility now. Obviously, the Bears are looking at a bunch of – I mean, the Bears are like a few different teams out there who have about five or six different guys who could be their quarterback. Yeah. I hadn't really considered Mariota, but I'm here for it.
We talked yesterday about the Patriots too. Maybe some interest there with the New England Patriots and Marcus Mariota. That would be fascinating.
What if Belichick gets his revenge next year? Brady sitting at home while Belichick and Mariota win it all.
Oh, yeah.
Then what will we say? What will the takes be?
I'll tell you what, we'd have some interesting ones there. Yeah. I got some news for you. If you're Bill Belichick, you want to win a Super Bowl, it's probably not the route you should go.
Probably not the way to go. I'd love to see him try, though. They'd be more fun to watch than they were with Cam this year.
Oh, that's for sure.
Well, I'm assuming they're also going to
have an actual receiver?
Yeah, get people who can catch and run and things like
all
that.
All due respect to Julian Edelman. But outside of him, an actual receiver.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Like, does one game really – is that really garnering that much interest around the league with him? I mean, he played well for the most part in that game. He also threw a god-awful interception in that game as well. I mean – to me, he looked like the same guy he's always been, and that is he has his moments where he looks really good, and he has his moments where he looks awful.
Well, I thought there was a damning quote in Albert Breer's Monday. He has a weekly column, I guess. And there was a scout that told him that Marcus just isn't going to get there because he's too scared to make mistakes. And when I read that quote, I was like, that makes that scout put it in a way almost that makes a ton of sense that I don't think a lot of people really put it that way when he was with the Titans.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I think his best year, clearly 2016, he did make some ghastly mistakes that year. He threw pick sixes. He had fumbles return. You know, he threw some bad picks, but he was really good. And maybe that at some point along the way lost confidence or was too cautious or whatever it is. I don't think that's the only issue. I think it's just like inconsistent accuracy. He's not quite pinpoint enough, consistently enough to be one of the top guys in the league. But I can see teams being intrigued by him too because he's so athletic. He is talented. And he's one of those guys that you can see a lot of coaches looking at it and say, I think I could fix that guy. I think if we do this and this, we could get something out of him. So it would be a lot of fun to see him actually get that opportunity. I had my doubts after he left here, you know, that he would actually be a starting quarterback, like a team's choice to be a starting quarterback again.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond. Always appreciate your participation on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it's that time of the week. Time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We throw out different scenarios both in sports and in life, and then we respond to said scenarios. Always encourage your participation on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I am back in the questions chair today, so with that in mind, fellas, where do we want to begin? Sports or non-sports?
Sports.
All right. We've talked a lot about Tom Brady this week and his career. We'll continue to talk about it coming up here in the next hour as well. Of these four options, whose career would you rather have? Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Roger Federer. So you're talking about two team sport athletes, two individual sport athletes, all great. Of those four options, what career is the most appealing to you?
All right, I need a clarification on this.
Okay.
Are we including all things that happen around your life in this career?
Sure.
Okay, then I'm going to eliminate Tiger Woods.
Okay.
I mean, he's an easy one.
He still makes a lot of money and really good at golf.
I was about to say, if it's only the golf course, I would go with Tiger. If it's only the golf course.
I just said career. You take that any way you want to take it.
Well, but that is important. But you're saying yes. You're saying that everything that happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could be in Space Jam if you're LeBron.
Yeah. That's where I'm going with LeBron.
Okay. And did Space Jam sell you? Is that what you wanted?
No.
Okay.
He was on the fence and he heard you say Space Jam.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going with LBJ.
Cool.
I'd rather be in Space Jam than ever watch a Space Jam movie. Okay. And I never will watch any of them. But I'm going to go LeBron. To me, it would be LeBron or it would be Brady. Although I have a hate relationship with golf. It'd be amazing to be good at golf. But, you know, golf and tennis to me, I mean, I don't value them as much as I value football and basketball. And the ability to do what LeBron does on the basketball court, have that career, I would have to go there. That's a slam dunk. Ooh. Pun intended.
Ryan Poore, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Roger Federer.
If you are letting me take this wherever I want to take it,
sure.
I will take Tiger Woods' golf career.
Okay.
On the course. Because there's something to be said about every eyeball around the tee box and on national TV watching you have no one else to rely on but yourself, and you just go out there and obliterate a golf ball and you dominate the field like he did back in his day.
Okay. I like it. I don't really like the disrespect all of you are showing Roger Federer here, because I'm tempted to go that way because I love watching tennis.
I mean, it sounds great, too. It sounds awesome. They all sound awesome.
All those Grand Slams. Being a nice guy from Switzerland, too. Good hair. But I'm going Brady. I mean, Brady. 7 Super Bowls. The greatest quarterback of all time. The most popular sport in the country. The greatest winner in the history of the game. 7 Super Bowl titles. No franchise has more than 6. Tom Brady. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of parallels between Tom Brady and Robbie Stanley. Like, we're both white males. That's about where the parallels stop.
Lay that out for us.
That's about where that stops. Give me Tom Brady's career all day long.
It's good. We all had different answers, and they were all good. Mine was better, because you could dunk on anybody you want at any time. How could you pass that up? But go ahead.
Okay. Switching over to non-sports. In honor of Love Week, in this scenario, your buddy is really into somebody, and you can tell that it's just not going to work out, and that other person does not feel the same way. Do you let your buddy shoot his shot anyway, or are you honest with them at the risk of upsetting them? So you can try to be a good, honest friend and keep them from maybe embarrassing themselves a little bit, or you can say, you know what, just let him try.
Let him try.
Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Just don't want to be the heartbreaker, Ryan.
Yeah. Wow. Let him try.
I've seen enough, stunning couplings to, to never rule anything out. And plus, even if your instincts are right, I mean, it's kind of entertaining to watch a buddy go down in
just
flames, right?
Out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, hey, just going to sit back and enjoy the show. Either way, I'm not going to get in there. I'm not gonna get involved.
It depends on the situation. I have actually done both of these things. I have sat back before and just watched people shoot their shot, knowing all along they had no chance whatsoever.
Did you do that with me once?
No, I don't think it hadn't been with
all
you.
Right.
I have also walked up to some of my friends and be like, hey, man, I know what you're thinking. It's probably not a good idea. It's not going to go well for you. I did that once and was wrong. It went well, but my batting average is usually pretty good on that. Usually got a pretty good feel. My immediate answer would be I would have the conversation and be like, hey, man, I just don't know. But the problem with that is very rarely do they listen to you when that happens. Like, their mind is made up.
Right.
They get mad at you. It really rarely leads to productive conversations. But sometimes I feel it's my duty to kind of leave that warning out anyway. But you're right. It is funny when it doesn't work out.
Well, all you need to do is give them 2 or 3 pickup lines that are sure to work and get out of the way.
From what website?
ScaryMommy.com. It's a great website for very many things.
Switching back over.
Sure it is.
Sports. If you were the genie from Aladdin and could grant one wish to help the Nashville Predators, what would that wish be? So we've talked about some issues the Predators have. There are many. Offensively right now, not going well. Penalty kill has been a disaster. I was going to go 3 wishes, but that's too easy. You can only have 1 wish to help the Nashville Predators. What would it be?
Okay, so it can't be.
You can't be.
We will take the entire Tampa Bay Lightning roster and then replace ours with that.
No.
That can't be.
The genie says no to that.
Okay.
You can fix
one
part.
What are the limitations? Okay.
You can fix one part.
One part?
Yeah.
One part. Like, like the forwards?
Sure.
I'm trying to see how far
I can
go.
I'm not saying you bring in Connor McDavid. I'm saying you could fix the penalty kill to where it's a good penalty kill. The offense is a good offense, but the penalty kill remains really bad. What do you go about fixing if you're the genie from Aladdin?
Okay, so it's a...
Or the goaltend. Okay. You fix the goaltend.
So it's an area of the team that you are... Well, I'm gonna go offense.
Okay. And just let it ride with this penalty kill?
Well, look, if you have a good offense and you are productive, then that helps everything else too. And so maybe you don't take as many penalties. And you aren't in that position. You aren't as defending as much, and you are hemming teams in the offensive zone and all that stuff that goes with it. Also, you're at least fun to watch and entertaining. And so if nothing else, people would rather watch 6-5 games than 2-1 games. So,
that's true.
Yeah, that's my fix.
My one wish is that they never take a penalty for the rest of the season.
Oh.
Or ever again.
Or ever again. No more penalties for the remainder of the franchise.
For the remainder of time, 0 penalties.
0 penalties. I mean, you probably like your chances at that point. Nice special teams advantage.
Yeah, so you're like changing the rules. Like that's something that could never happen in hockey.
I'm going into the settings on NHL on the video game. And
sliding in. He doesn't know what that is. They didn't do that in the NHL 94.
The AI settings, I don't think they had this on NHL 94, but there's something called the AI settings. And you can there's this bar, Joe, where you can slide it one way or the other to increase the penalties or decrease the penalties that are called within a given video game. And I would decrease it all the way to zero.
Okay. I'm going offense, too. Like, it's just such a problem with this team. I realize the penalty kill is, too, and it's hard to win when your penalty kill is dead last in the league. So there are multiple areas you can go. I'm going offense. That to me, is the main issue with the Predators. The last one, going back to non-sports, your celebrity crush growing up was who?
Jennifer Aniston.
Ooh, that was quick.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could list out the posters that I've had at different times. Yeah, I will say that probably crush is Alyssa Milano.
Okay.
And, you know, like, we're kind of similar age, so I kind of like grew up together. But if you got a little bit older, I mean, certainly, like, Cindy Crawford was a big celebrity crush. I had a Samantha Fox poster, too. Not especially proud of that, but I had a Samantha Fox poster. Al McPherson. I mean, I can keep going on, but yeah, I'll go with Alyssa Milano.
Okay,
you know, who's the boss? Big crush on Alyssa Milano.
Okay,
she's an attractive person.
I was a big Jessica guy growing up. I enjoyed some Jessica Alba. Still enjoy some Jessica Alba. Jessica Simpson growing up. Very nice.
Jessica Alba's a great call.
Yeah, Jessica Alba was probably number one on the list for Robbie growing up.
Like, does she do any, like, is she in a show or anything?
I don't think she's doing much right now. Yeah. I haven't seen her in much recently.
Yeah. Good call.
She's only 39 right now. I'm 28. So I guess growing up, she was older than me. So
yeah, that's one of those things where I'm thinking of, you're talking about Jessica Alba, and then you're like, she's 11 years older than you. I'm like, what?
That was me growing up, man. Nice calls.
Good stuff.
Porth was very quick on Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston. Like, the words had barely gotten out of my mouth.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Still looks great.
Far from alone.
Jennifer Aniston still kicking along here.
Yes, she is.
Doing the Tom Brady three kale
Tom Brady
shakes
diet.
A day.
Yeah. It's working well for Tom Brady and Jennifer Aniston. That does it for this edition of The Choice is Yours. Good job, fellas. Nice variety in that one.
Well done.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll get into all things NFL and Tom Brady. Continue to talk about the GOAT as well. Trent Dilfer, former NFL Super Bowl winning quarterback and current head coach at Lipscomb Academy, will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.